Welcome to 2017. No, be honest. I mean, you're still reeling from 2016, and trying to recover from that. I want you to open up your bulletin. I want you to take out this. Now, this is not folded. Where's my friend Andrew? Is he still in here? He's in the nursery. First thing it is, he took it out, and he folded it in half so it fit back in his bulletin. The reason we left it unfolded is because I want to encourage you to stick this up somewhere in your house. Put it someplace where you're going to see it. This is kind of our roadmap for 2017. And right there in the top towards the upper part on the right, you'll see the theme that we have set for 2017. Michael talked about vision that we have for this year and what we believe God wants to do in and through us in the coming year. Part of that is rooted to this theme that we have, family strong. Our goal this year is we walk through 2017, and we'll unfold this more, and you'll hear about this a lot over the coming year, is what does it look like for us to be family strong? What does it look like for Crossroads Church to be a strong family of God? What does it look like for you, mom, dad, your kids, to be family strong? Because when we break up from here and we go out into the world that he's put us in, we go out in little family units, right? Mom and dad and kids, sometimes a single parent and a couple of kids, or whatever your family looks like, we go out into our community, into our world, and we're called to be making disciples wherever God's placed us. Would you agree with that? That's the end of the day. That is the big picture, the kingdom that he's invited us to be a part of, because what he cares about in his kingdom is ruling in the hearts of men and women, young people and children. That's his kingdom. And he wants us to be a part of it. He wants us to be making disciples. So what does it look like for you to be family strong, mom, dad, in the life that he's given you, where he's placed you? What does it look like for us to be family strong? What can we do as a church? What can we do for each other? What can we do on Sunday mornings? What's happening right now in the different areas where the kids are being served? What can we do to become family strong in 2017? 2016 was a little crazy. There's nothing to lead us to believe that 2017 isn't going to be the same, or maybe a little bit crazier. So you know what? Hear me when I say this. Who cares? Who cares what happens in the craziness around us? What we should be caring about is, are we family strong? Are we strong with God? Are we becoming what he intends us to be so that we can live out our faith and be making disciples in whatever set of circumstances he puts us in? If we believe he is sovereign, if we believe that he is still in control, or somehow, you know, the election of the United States kicked God off the throne somehow and he's trying to recover. No, okay, come on. Are you listening to me? If we believe he's still sovereign. And so what you have there is a roadmap. I would encourage you to stick it up somewhere. We'll probably hand these out again at the annual meeting if you didn't get one. They are in color. I'm looking at our executive pastor back there I just got the thumbs down. So there's some big moments of the year at the bottom there, things you need to plan for, you need to put on your calendar. And up above in this area is our roadmap, where we're going to be on Sunday mornings when it comes to teaching God's word. So you see the different breakdowns there. You see the series. We're going to be in Colossians this year. We're going to be in Philippians this year. We're going to be in Ephesians this year. To start off the year, we're going to be in the book of Acts. If you take out your notes from your bulletin, you'll see at the top of your study notes this morning the journey we've taken through in the book of Acts. So take that out. Take a look at it real quick. Up at the top, you'll see there that we started going through the book of Acts back in 2013, and then we in 14, and in 15, and now in 17. Now, what are we doing? If you reflect back on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that's where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, you're going to be witnesses for me. You're going to give testimony for me. Martyreo is the word in the Greek. It would become known as martyr, somebody who gave their life, literally, for what they knew. And so Jesus says, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be the testimony of me. Okay? What does that look like? Well, I want you to start where? In Jerusalem, remember? Acts 1:8. You'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and then in Judea, kind of the Sacramento area, you know, the region, and then in Samaria, and then the whole earth, right? To the ends of the earth. And so that's how we've broken up the book of Acts. So in 13, we looked at the first seven chapters, go now, and what it looked like for the church to go to Jerusalem. Then some things happened. Remember Stephen? Remember what happened to him? He got, yeah, but we need to clarify. When you just yell out, he got stoned in church, that can be really confusing. So he was executed using rocks. How's that? Okay? Because we're living in California. Okay. We'll talk afterwards. So he gets executed, and the church then goes outside of Jerusalem, and they go to Judea and Samaria. And we looked at that in chapters 8 and 12 through 12. And then in 2015, we came back after looking at go now, go together, now go big. And Maluli referenced that you're going to the ends of the earth. And it then went out to the Gentile world, and the gospel was being proclaimed. Remember, Paul began to travel. Remember Peter? He went to Cornelius, and he went to this Gentile house, and he ate a meal in a Gentile house. Now, to most of us, like, whatever, but to them, that was a really big deal. The Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, people came back and said, what's going on? People are getting saved. The Holy Spirit is showing up in people's lives that aren't Jewish people. And they had to go through that growing pain, and they began to realize that God's kingdom and the message of the gospel was truly to go to the ends of the earth. And then as we come to chapters 19 and 20, which is where we're going to begin for the next couple of months, we're going to be looking at this last section, and we're calling it Go Strong. The last section of the book of Acts, many of you know this, really zooms in on one guy, and his name was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And Paul, in this last section from 20 to 28, Paul is going to go strong. And the reason I say that is because he is going to come up against resistance and obstacles and setbacks and pushback like you just can't imagine. It's like the whole enemy of Satan is just, the whole kingdom of Satan is just being thrown in his face. At every turn, he meets opposition. And he just keeps going, and he keeps going, and he keeps going. And that's what our focus is going to be as we look at these last few chapters of the book of Acts, starting at chapter 20. We want to go strong. I want to go strong. I want to go strong to the end of the age. What is the end of the age? Well, for some of us, the end of the age is when we die. Yeah, I'm 55. I'm 55, you know, I'm going home today, or I might slide and smash into a tree, and Jesus says, come home. That is the end of my age. Or he may say, Kurt, I want you to live to be 92. And so the end of my age is at 92, that I just keep going strong. I keep going and making disciples. Do you see the titles of these series? Go now, go together, go big, go strong. The emphasis is on what word? Go. Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go. Go and make disciples. So the end of the age for some of us will be when we take that last breath. And absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he says, well done. You went strong to the end of the age. For others, it could be that Jesus returns for his church. Even so, come quickly. And he could come back and collect his bride. The Father could say, it's time. Go get your bride. And Jesus could come and appear in the clouds. And we're taken up to be with him. And that becomes the end of our age. So we don't know that, do we? We don't know the details or the moment of the end of the age. But what I know, because God has been so absolutely clear, and I love what Nate said this morning, we can trust it because it came out of your mouth. I'm going to use that. I may not give you credit. We can trust the word of God because it came out of his mouth. So what's clear is God saying, I want you to go and make disciples to the end of the age. Go back to Matthew 28. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them or baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's engage and empower. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's equip. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so his command is very clear. His instruction is very clear. His expectation is very clear. And I will just add to that, I believe his heart is also equally clear, that you and I would go to the end of the age, that we would go strong. Amen. That we would go strong. That we would be experiencing victory and thriving in the midst of whatever set of circumstances we find ourselves in. And so our goal as we walk through 2017 is we want to do everything possible with God's leading and God's help and the Holy Spirit's presence to create a church family that is family strong. Individual families that are family strong. And you'll see that reflected in our teaching plan this year as we walk through it together. This morning we come to Acts. We come to Acts 20, verse 1. And I want to read that together this morning, I want you to join me, if you would, in the book of Acts in chapter 20. And we'll read the first 12 verses together. After the uproar was over, Paul sent for the disciples, encouraged them, and after saying goodbye, departed to go to Macedonia, what we know as Greece today, that area. And when he had passed through those areas and exhorted them at length, he came to Greece, and he stayed 3 months. When he was about to set sail for Syria, a plot was devised against him by the Jews, so a decision was made to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus from Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us in Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. In 5 days we reached them at Troas, where we spent 7 days. On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he extended his message until... Get rid of that timer up there. Just take that timer down right now. Put 12 midnight up there. You laugh, I could do it. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled. And a young man named Eutychus was sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep. Yeah, I'm watching you. He sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on speaking. When he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, "Don't be alarmed, for his life is in him." After going upstairs, breaking the bread and eating, Paul conversed, what does it say? A considerable time until dawn. Then he left. They brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here in this section. It's an interesting section, a lot of details. Michael said he's a numbers guy. He probably likes this section because there's a lot of details given here. What exactly is happening? Well, here's what I want you to zoom in on. I want you to notice a couple of things, and they're in your notes this morning, so they're written down for you. Notice, first of all, the circumstances of going strong. When you start chapter 20, you read the word uproar. It's a riot. Now, some of you know what that's referring to. Some of you may not. If you go back to chapter 19, read chapter 19. It's a very exciting. It would make a great movie for the series or a mini-series for television. It's a crazy time in the city of Ephesus. There's an amazing moment happens where there's a great revival, and everybody who is caught up in sorcery and witchcraft, they bring all the stuff that they're using, and they make a big pile, and they burn it publicly in the town center. And they celebrate being set free through the gospel of Jesus Christ from witchcraft and sorcery and these false things that they were worshiping. And they burn a big pile and they celebrate the freedom that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, something they had never heard before. And then as the time unfolds, it becomes clear that a massive number in the city are turning to Jesus Christ, and there's people that are really threatened by that, namely the people that make things out of silver for the worship of these false gods, particularly one god, Diana. And there's a guy named Demetrius who steps up to represent the union of silversmiths and says, "Hey, this is a problem. People aren't going to buy our little things." This would be like people saying, "I'm not going to Fisherman's Wharf anymore." You've been to Fisherman's Wharf lately and all those little shops? You know, they're all the same, but they all have the same five things, you know, T-shirts and little doodads and plastic and magnets, you know. What if people just said, "You know, Fisherman's Wharf is evil. We're not going to go Fisherman's Wharf." What would happen to those businesses? So these silversmiths got together and said, "Hey, we're going to lose our livelihood." And they literally turned the city into a riot. Some of the people that were mentioned there with Paul, his team, were drugged through the city. People were going to die. And the leadership, the government, had to step up and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can read about this towards the end of 19. We have a legal system. If you got a problem, take them to court. But we can't have this crazy attitude that everybody's having." I don't know if you've ever been in a mob, if you've ever been close to a mob setting. I have a few times in my life. It is absolutely scary. It's freakishly scary. The entire city was in an uproar. And then chapter 20 says, after the uproar, what does it say? after the uproar was over, Paul sent for the disciples. And Paul, what's happening? I want you to notice, Paul is going. Nothing has changed for Paul. I want to grab a hold of that. Nothing has changed for Paul. His world is turned upside down. Economic issues are playing out. Governmental issues are playing out. Social issues are playing out. Religious worship issues are playing out. The entire city is in an uproar. What has changed for Paul? Nothing. Nothing. Notice the circumstances of going strong are not what we might think they should be. Okay, I'll lead you guys this morning. I'll raise my hand first and say, you know what? For me to make a disciple, for me to engage my community, to engage my neighbor, to engage a coworker, because I got at least one coworker that needs Jesus. He's not paying attention. The people that God has put into my life, my family. When I step out on a limb, so to speak, and I go to make a disciple, I want the circumstances to be just right. Am I alone in that? I want things to be, you know, the way I pray for them, and, you know, and I want the person to be in the right mindset. I want my own life to be in the right set of circumstances. Oh, how many times have we not obeyed Jesus and not gone, and we haven't gone strong because we felt the circumstances weren't right? Can I just encourage us, and myself included, what this looks like to go strong? Notice that the circumstances are going strong, or whatever God chooses for them to be. Whatever He chooses for them to be. Because the reality is, in this room right here, which made me think of something, squirrel, we have people in our church that work for the city and work for CHP. They're out in the storm right now. Steven is out. Andy's out. Brian Hagan. There's others, too, that are out. Just think about them this afternoon. We're in here nice and dry and comfortable. They're out, you know, making sure the infrastructure works and people are safe. So, I'm sorry. It made me think of it because I see some people that are missing. In this room, in who is here, as we went around, we would find that your set of circumstances are different from your set of circumstances, are different from your set of circumstances, and are different from yours. So they're all different. My point is that, I believe the point here is that the circumstances for going strong are whatever God wants them to be. And sometimes there's great harvest. It's that soil that reaps 100-fold. Other times it's rocky or weedy or choked out. It's tough. It's hard. Sometimes the circumstances that God says go in is when we are the outsiders. We are on the fringe. We are hated. We're misunderstood. Think about what you know of the life of Jesus. What if he's, oh, the time is just not right. Father, we messed up. You know, the Romans, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, oh, they're, you know what, just this is going to end badly. This is not, let's all come back in 2010. How about that? You with me? It wouldn't have been any different any time. Notice that the circumstances of going strong. Read through chapter 8 or 19. I asked myself, Kurt, are you waiting for a green light? And I asked this question sitting at a light. I was sitting at a light. How many people are frustrated with our lights? Just me? They don't make sense to me sometimes. Especially when you're like the only person. Anybody have that? You're sitting at a light. And it's red. And then it goes through the whole cycle. You know, and everybody gets a turn to go, even though there's nobody there. And then it comes to you. Oh, thank you very much, you know, as you go through. I'm sitting in line, it's like, am I waiting for a green light? Or is the truth this? I've already been given the green light. Go and make disciples. Be my witnesses. He's already given me the green light. He's already placed the people in my life. And if I'm just honest, I could make a list right now and say, here's the people that God's put in my life, at home, in my neighborhood, in the different circles that I travel. That barista at Starbucks that knows me by name. They know my name. Do they know my God? I don't know. Well, you know, the circumstances aren't. Are we waiting for a green light? Have we already been given a green light? Am I waiting for an easier moment to engage? Can I just... Here's the conclusion I came to, so I'll just answer the question for you if you're asking this. It's not going to come. The easier moment's not going to come. The moment is now. The moment is now. Notice that the circumstances of going strong are not maybe what we think. We engage the moment with the Father's story. You've seen that before, right? We talk about that. We engage the moment with the Father's story. It's purposely not the good moments, the easy moments, the right moments. We engage the moment. You live in a moment. I live in a moment. We're at any moment. We learn this from parenting, don't we? No? You want that right moment. You just want to create that moment. And you realize that the moments are passing you by if you don't jump in right now in the mess of the moment. We engage the moment with the Father's story. Are we engaging our world in the midst of the uproar? Can you meditate on that this week? And I encourage you, these questions are all in your notes. You can take them with you. But are we engaging? Are we engaging our world in the midst of the uproar that's going around us? Second thing I want you to notice. Notice the team approach to going strong. Did you catch those list of names there? Who's looking for a baby name? Come on now. Highlight Acts chapter 20 because you can't get any better set of, you can't get a better book of baby names than right there. Come on, Trophimus, what was it? I already messed his name up. You know, come on. What is going on? Why does Luke tell us this, the man that the Holy Spirit's using to write the book of Acts? He's telling this, I believe, because he wants to introduce us to this idea, and we'll see it through the book of Acts, that going is always meant to be as a team. So when we say family strong, your family has been placed in a neighborhood, in a set of schools, in sports, in a circle. Would you agree? Would you agree? If you've got kids, you've got this family, you are put in circles. And God intends for you to go and to be family strong in making disciples. Certainly your five-year-old can make disciples and be living out their faith at kindergarten, and your 12th grader or your teenager. And you can do it at work. But I believe God intends the family, your family, in the place that he's put you to go and make disciples, being family strong. It's always done in community. Even if you're out there by yourself, you come back to the community, and we encourage and support each other. And that's what we see here. Paul surrounds himself with a team. It's interesting. We know the meaning of these names. Sopater, he means savior of his father, and he's from Berea. And we're given the name of his father. We're not sure why, but we're told who his father is. Aristarchus, he means the best ruler. In Colossians chapter 4, we find him in prison with Paul. He's willing to go to prison with Paul. He's from Thessalonica. Secundus, his name means fortunate. He's also from Thessalonica. These are guys that have joined the team as Paul has traveled around. Gaius, his name means Lord. In chapter 19, he's one of the ones that we see being dragged away, caught up in the uproar. And in Romans chapter 16, we find that Gaius is hosting the local church in his home. Isn't that cool? I love that. Timothy, we know lots about Timothy. His name means to honor God. He's from Lystra. Later, he would become the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Tychicus means faithful. He's a trusted messenger of Paul. Paul uses him many times to deliver his messages. He is from the province of Asia. Trophimus means nutritious. Have no clue why you would give your kid that name. Maybe they were saved from cannibalism, and so, you know, they were... Just seeing if you're paying attention. That's a joke. He went to Jerusalem with Paul, and we'd be a part of the persecution there. He's from Asia. And then Luke says we. We're not given Luke's name here, but Luke uses the we to refer to him and Paul, and there might have even been others that were with Luke and Paul as the rest of this team was sent ahead to Troas to get ready. Luke, Paul, possibly others were then traveling. Here's the point. Going really is intended to be done as a team, making disciples as a team. Mom and dad, raising your kids, teaching them to love Jesus, Never lose sight of that it's meant to be a team. So I'm a single parent. If you're a single parent, it's still meant to be done as a team. Make sure you have people in your life that are supporting you, encouraging you as you do that, to raise your child, raise your children, because God intends it to be a family, a team of people. Ministry is to be done as a team. We empower the soul. We empower the soul with a new identity in Jesus and a big part of that identity. In fact, you cannot get a hold, you cannot wrap your heart and head around the new identity we have in Christ without the family of God. I want you to hear that. The new identity that I have in Christ, this new creation, is a new relationship with God, but it's also a new relationship with people. See, I became part of a body. I am a body part, and I'm intimately connected to other parts of the body. And how I function or don't function affects the people in that body, and vice versa. It's a system. It's a family. It's a building built upon the foundation, specifically the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Do we get that? It's meant to be done in that setting. And so our identity, we empower the soul with this new identity. I am not alone. I am never alone, not just because the Spirit of God lives within me, but I am never alone, humanly speaking, because I'm a part of the family of God. And that will forever be true. You cannot get rid of me. Quit smiling, Brittany. We can't. We are part of the family of God, and ministry going is meant to be done in a team approach. Notice the third thing. There is a real focus on growing strong disciples if we're going to go strong. So let me point these out again. Notice first that the circumstances of going strong are not maybe what we think. Notice that the team approach is necessary for going strong. And then notice that there is really a focus on growing strong disciples if we're going to go strong. There's two of those elements that are here. You saw the phrase breaking bread. Do we know what that is when they broke bread? In fact, he says they came together on the first day of the week. What day of the week is that? That's today. That's Sunday. They came to. Why did Sunday become the first day of the week in such a? Because the Sabbath, Saturday, had been such a part of their DNA, and the Jehovah and the revealing of the prophets and all the promises of Jesus came through the Old Testament, and the festivals and the Sabbath was central to that. Why did things shift to Sunday? What happened on Sunday? Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday morning. And the church began to celebrate the day of his resurrection and come together on the first day of the week. And what did they do when they came together on the first day of the week? They broke bread. What were they doing? They were gathering around the Lord's table, and they were following the footsteps of Jesus, who shared that Passover meal with his disciples and said, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you. This cup represents my blood, which is poured out for you." So what are they doing? They're worshiping Jesus. I want you to see how central that is. We need to see how central. If we're going to go strong, we need this time. We need times of coming together. You need times as a family coming together around the dinner table and worshiping Jesus, celebrating him as a family. We need to come together as a family. We're in the middle of football playoffs. You know what this is this morning? I've always thought this, that for me, at least Sunday morning, this is the halftime rally, pep talk, whatever you want to call it, from the coach. This is coming together and saying, "Okay, God, this was a tough week. Man, we're all out of whack, you know, and things happen, and my mind's not even focused on the right things, and I'm discouraged, or I'm upset, or I'm fearful, or whatever it might be," and I come in, and I sit down, and it's like, ah, and then God says, hey, look at me. Let me remind you of a few things. And what are we reminded of? We come together, we gather around the Lord's table. We're reminded of the work of Christ on the cross, that it's complete, and that it's given to us by his grace. It's a gift. We're reminded of who God is, and we sing songs that elevate his character and his plan and how we fit into that. And we open up God's word, and by the Holy Spirit, you hear from God through the truth of his word, and we can trust it because it came out of his mouth. And he speaks to you and says, "Hey, whatever it is that you need to hear from him, you hear, I love you still. You hear, I forgive you. You hear, you're important to me, and I have plans for you, and those plans for you are good." We come together, and we're reminded, what are we doing again? What is this really all about? What's the game plan? Oh, yeah. Are we all going the same direction? Do you know what part you're playing? You a linebacker? You a receiver? You a water boy on the side of the thing, making sure there, you know, water's coming to the... What's the goal? What's my part? What are we doing? We need this. We need to worship God and to be reoriented as to what it is he's asked us to be and asked us to do. The other element we see here is the teaching of God's word. Now, let's just have a moment of celebration and praise that I don't preach until midnight or dawn. Come on. That's it? All right. Well, then I'm going to do it. No. But you understand the setting. Paul was only going to be there. He'd never be back in Ephesus again. The closest he would be was Miletus. He would meet with the elders. We'll see that shortly. But he never comes back to Ephesus. And he wants these disciples to be strong. Did you notice that? that he just goes on talking, and then right in the middle of his message, a dude falls out of the window and falls three stories and appears to be dead. No, that isn't a distraction. I'll just keep preaching. All right, just keep going. Don't worry about it. Somebody else will take care of it. And they go and they deal with it. He goes down and he falls on him. He prays. He embraces him. And he says, no, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And what does he do? He goes back. They break bread. They worship Jesus. And then he talks some more. Why? Because if we're going to go strong, we need these things in our life. We need to grow deep as disciples. And I'll suggest to you, because I believe this strongly, that growth comes through investing our time and our beings in worshiping Jesus and studying his word, being taught. You know what's happening to our kids right now? They are being taught. They're worshiping Jesus and they're being taught. You'll find that theme around here. When you come together, there's always somebody that's, you know, saying, hey, let's open the Bible. Let's talk about it. Why? There's always somebody busting out a guitar. There's always somebody, you know, we need to worship Jesus and we need to grow deep in our understanding of God's word if we're going to go strong. If 2017 is going to be a good year for you and for me, for us, and we're going to be family strong, we need to grow deep. The shallow person who claims to follow Jesus but remains shallow in their understanding of who God is will be swept away. You will. They'll get knocked down. At the very least, they will be discouraged, heavily discouraged. Going strong requires that we grow strong disciples. We equip the disciple to grow deep and wide. My question for me and for you is, are we making growth a priority in our lives? Can you ask yourself that? Can you ask that as a parent? Or if there's two parents, you talk about it together. Are we investing intentionally? Are we investing in growth? Are we making growth, spiritual growth, a priority? Is Sunday morning a priority? Now, God may not have you here. There's other places you can go to. But I'm adamant about this because it's clear in God's word that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be gathering someplace with the family of God, and we need to be fed. We need to be encouraged. We need to worship Jesus. We need to be reoriented. We need that pep talk, if you will, that reorientation of what the next 6 days are really all about. And I'll be discouraged Saturday night. That's okay. You come back and you get it again, and then you hit the ground running on Sunday afternoon. We need that. Are we investing? Are we making growth a priority in our lives and our families? And notice quickly the last thing. There's an emphasis on encouragement in going strong. Now, it's interesting. Our English translators, and I understand why, because of the setting, they're trying to communicate. But the word encourage, the word exhort, and then at the very end of our text, comforted, they're all the same word. Parakaleo, they're all the same word. Most commonly translated encourage. Paul encouraged them. Paul encouraged them. He exhorted them. They were comforted. They were encouraged. It literally just means to call someone alongside of you. Now, I want you to go back to Matthew 28 just for a second. Jesus said, engage, empower, equip, right? Go, baptize, teach. And then he says, remember this, I will be with you always. That's encourage. That, we believe that encourage is defined by presence. Being present. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. Neither do I. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what to say or what to write. So I'll just follow in the footsteps of Jesus and I'll just be present. I'll just show up. I'll show up for others. I'll put my needs aside and I'll show up for them. Can we do that? We can do that. And Paul is doing that. He invests all of his time. He's just there. He's with them. He's encouraging them. He knows what's going to come. And he says, if we're going to go strong, you need to be encouraged. You need to be alongside of someone else. Now, here's the really cool part. Parakaleo is also the word that is used for the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. He is the comforter. And how does he comfort? He shows up. In fact, God promised that he moves in and he will never leave. He's a deposit, guaranteeing is what to come. So when the Holy Spirit moved into me, he has never left and he never will. That's encouragement. God says, I'm with you. I will never leave you. I'll move in and stay there. And nothing you do can get rid of me. I'm committed to this. Paul understood how important encouragement was. And here's the bottom line. When we encourage, then, we are being just like the Holy Spirit. Think about it. He's called us to encourage one another. Jesus said he'll never leave us. The Holy Spirit comes. So when I show up and I just speak or I write or I just am there, you're not alone. Katie, you're not alone. I'm here. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm not even sure I fully understand what you're going through. Look at me when I'm talking to you. You know, you know, but I'm here. I'm here. Do you get it? I'm here. We're here. Paul understood that there's an emphasis that needs to take place, an emphasis on encouragement if we're going to go strong. In fact, I'll say I believe this. Encouragement came first for Paul. His words sometimes were tough and to the point, but at the end of the day, encouragement was a priority to him. We encourage the church. We encourage one another to move together in the Spirit as one. So here's my question. Are we aware of who is discouraged, and are we intentionally encouraging them? You know, the biggest obstacle to being an encourager is getting wrapped up in your own set of tough stuff. And we walk by people in our own homes. We walk by them without ever even taking notice that somebody is down, somebody's discouraged. Am I noticing? Am I aware of who is discouraged? I want to encourage you to turn your notes over. I have a few minutes left, and I want to just challenge us with a couple of opportunities that I think we can really build on these as we just take a notice of what's happening in these verses. I want us to look ahead to 2017, and I want to encourage you to take some practical steps this morning. What does it look like for me? What does it look like for you, for us, to get a strong start in 2017 so that as we move through this year, we can become family strong? What can we do? What does it look like? I put some verses on them. I'm not going to read it, but do you see Habakkuk? Is that in there? Habakkuk chapter 3? Read that. You'll be blessed by that because Habakkuk basically says, life stinks right now, but I'm going to trust God because he's so good, and it came out of his mouth. And so I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trusting him. So we talked about some things earlier. Some of these you've heard, but I want to walk through these real quickly. The first one is I want to encourage you to commit to this. Commit to family strong. What does that mean? That means, A, be present. Be here. Be here. Bring your Bible. Come prepared. Be ready to study. Be ready to hear from God, whatever God wants to speak to you about. And then take it with you and live it out in your family. You hearing me? That's a commitment to family strong. I want to become family strong this year in my family, in my marriage, in my relationships. Well, it's possible to come, or it's possible not to be here half the time. It's also possible to kind of come here and right over my head, and I'm not engaging with the Holy Spirit. Commit to being family strong in 2017. Make the gathering together of God's people a priority for you. Number two, plan to go deep and wide. Plan to invest in your growth. And here's one suggestion. You'll see these coming. We have a couple, and we've got some in the works that I'm very excited about. That's what our e-groups are all about. They're to help us put down deep roots, deep and wide, deep in our faith and our relationship with God, and wide in our impact and our influence in the lives of those that God's placed around us, our marriages, our kids, our families, our coworkers. We got Moms Connect. We've got a men's group is starting up pretty quick. We've got the Essentials class. We've got some really cool ones coming up, and I missed a few. Encore, there's some other ones. But invest in that. That's a time investment, is it not? And we have to make choices. When I invest in one thing, I say no to something else. No? Anybody be two places at once? Not me. So when I say one, and it reflects on what's important to me and my priorities, plan, put it on your calendar. Take a look as these things come up. I'm going to be a part of these things so that I can grow deep and wide. Number three, register for momentum. Momentum is the gathering of the church. And we want to see this spread into the church at Carmichael. It's in February, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. The 23rd, Thursday night, is a night of prayer. Pastor Jeff and I, we're going to lead a time of on the piano and playing and just worshiping God and praying to God, calling out to God as the church in Carmichael. Friday night, we come together. We've got pastors from other churches that are coming, speaking. We have people doing the breakouts from our church, from these other churches, and we're going to come together on Friday night and Saturday, and we're going to be engaged, empowered, equipped, and encouraged as the body of Christ. So commit to that. Go into gotmomentum.org and register for momentum and make that a part of your February I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This has really resonated with me, this peace plan. Do you remember that from in December? It's listed there for you again. Invest in a peace plan. If you want to be family strong, have a plan. I'm convinced that the most important thing that we're looking for and we need to be family strong or to be individually strong with Christ is peace, the peace of God that reigns and defies explanation. God gives it to us, but he asks us to partner with him so that it's a part of our life. Put God on your calendar. We talked about that. Put him literally on your calendar. If God doesn't have a priority time with you every day, you're not going to be strong in 2017. You need it. I need it. He deserves it, doesn't he? He deserves the best of my day. He deserves an appointment with me where he gets my time, my heart, my mind. Put him on your calendar. Establish people as your top priority. How many are having a hard time with people right now? Come on, be real. All right, we got four honest people in our church. Okay, so, you know, people are tough. I know people are tough because you have a tough time with me. People are tough. It's easy to kind of just, I'll focus on other stuff. Don't do that. Establish people as your top priority. A, add God to your bank account. Make it a joint account. C, choose, 2 Timothy 1:7, choose power, love, and sound judgment as your MO. Not fear, not anger, not resentment, not bitterness, not discouragement, because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but make your MO power, love, and sound judgment. Did I make those words up? No, I didn't. They're right there in 2 Timothy 1:7. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. And E, expand God's kingdom. Invest in his kingdom. Expand it with whatever it is that you do best, whatever it is that God has given you. And the last thing I want to draw your attention to, and then I'm going to close in prayer. There's a momentum flyer. Did you guys see that? Make sure you take a look at that. Is this one, leadership huddles. We started these in 2016. We ran our beta test of them, if you will, and we had six of them. And we're expanding them this year, and I want you to take a look at this, not right now, because the team is going to come out, and we're going to respond in worship this morning. But these are our leadership huddles, and everybody who chooses to can be a part of a leadership huddle. What are leadership huddles? It's about raising up leaders, leaders who intentionally grow, pursue unity, and produce new leaders. Would you agree that we need leaders in our families, we need leaders in our church, we need leaders in our ministries? Anything that takes place requires leadership. Do we need leaders in our country, in our companies? No? Yeah, we do. God works through leadership. We need to raise up leaders as a church, and that's what the leadership huddles are all about. There's a flyer there you can read through. The commitment is February through November. It's on the second Sunday night of each month, and there's a lot of details there. You can come see me and talk to me more about it later. But here's what I need you to do this morning, because we're going to form these huddles in the next week or so, next couple of weeks. If you're interested in growing in your leadership and you're willing to commit to those 10 Sunday nights, then mark on your card, I want to be a part of a leadership huddle. If you're not sure, come talk to me. You can talk to any of the elders or deacons. They've all been a part of them. Becky, Cindy have led. There's ladies' leadership huddles and there's guys. Okay, so you'll be in a small group with other ladies or with other guys. We want to raise up leaders that intentionally grow, pursue unity, and produce more leaders, because that's what we need if we're going to be family strong in 2017. You with me? Three of you? Four of you? Thank you, Amy. So take a good look at that this morning. I'm going to invite our worship team, Unveiled, to come back out. We're going to respond this morning. One of the ways Michael challenged us this morning is we don't have to worry about our finances, but we do need to be faithful to God. And you need to hear from God, and I need to hear from God what it looks like for me to be faithful in that part of my life, making sure that my finances reflect my faith in Christ and my love for God. Amen? Good. We got about half of us. So that's one of the ways that we're going to respond this morning. And so I want to invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. We're going to receive our gifts and offerings this morning, and we're going to be family strong. Amen? Amen. All right. Thank you for your attention, and thank me for not going to midnight. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in your word. I pray that your spirit has found receptive hearts to the truth that you wanted to speak into each life. I'm so thankful that you know every heart, every mind, in a way that none of us can. You know exactly what truth needed to be sealed to each heart, and I pray, Father, that hearts are open and receptive to you this morning. As we give, as we bring our gifts and our offerings, we bring them to you. And Father, I pray that you will work in us this year so that each of us can say we are investing in the things that you would have us invest in. Help us to be honest and to take a good look at our life and the choices that we're making with our time, our money, our resources. And what we do with those, may they reflect your heart and what you value. God, we want to honor you. We want to worship you in our giving this morning because we love you, Father, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.